Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study. This is week 10, day 2 of our study of Luke. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Today we're talking about Luke 23, 26 through 43. Well, welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. I am sitting right now in the beauty of springtime in the piney woods of East Texas at the Youth with a Mission base here outside of Tyler. And if you've never heard of Youth with a Mission, or YWAM as most people call it, I encourage you to check them out. They're an amazing missions organization. They're actually the largest independent missions organization in the world. And they have, here on this base and several other bases, they train missionaries to go out to all the earth. And I've had such a wonderful time getting to be here with the high school students that I teach on a weekly basis. We're here for a retreat. Gotten to meet some amazing missionaries that are here from all over the world. They're based out of here, and they train young people here to become missionaries. They train people in falling in love with God and then going and taking the good news of the gospel all over the earth. So I encourage you, check out YWAM. Go look at their website. Look into them. They're an amazing organization. I would encourage you to consider supporting YWAM or a missions organization, somebody that's going and taking the gospel out to the ends of the earth. All right, with that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and fill our hearts today with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 26. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that have never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Jesus is telling them. So, I mean, you have to understand the situation that's going on in Jerusalem is the leaders, they hate Jesus with a passion. They absolutely hate him with the passion, enough to have done all of this, to have falsely accused him of things and have him condemned to death by crucifixion, just the most heinous way that the Romans came up with to kill somebody. And there's a lot of people that they've stirred up. The crowds, they've gotten them angry. But there's a lot of people that were there a couple of days before crying, "Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They were laying down their coats. They're fanning with palm branches and laying those down. And so there are people on both sides of this here. And there's women that are weeping for Jesus as he's walking up. And he's already been beaten to a bloody pulp. And so he stumbles and he falls. He has trouble carrying this giant heavy timber cross. And so they just find this random guy from Cyrene. And I think it's interesting that Luke points out that he's from Cyrene, because Luke tells us in Acts that on the day of Pentecost, when all of these people become believers, these thousands of people that give their lives to Jesus on the day of Pentecost, he mentions that some of them are from all over kind of the Roman and Greek diaspora. And he specifically mentions Cyrene as one of those places. And so this Simon, he is in town for the Passover and probably staying, because it's difficult to travel in those days. So he's there for Passover and staying through to Pentecost. And then he was probably planning on going back home. We know that a lot of them ended up staying. And so Luke, I'm sure, got a chance to sit down with this Simon of Cyrene, who got to carry the cross, the man that the Romans just like, "Hey, you there." And he just happens to be standing there. And this changes this guy's life, because I have every confidence that the reason Luke and the reason this guy is in there is because he was a believer. He was counted with the believers in Jerusalem at some point during the time of the book of Acts. And so they give the cross to him. What a strange day for him, right? What a privilege to be able to carry the cross of Jesus, literally. Paul tells us that we have to take up our own crosses daily. We have to bear the stigma and the burden of giving our life to Jesus every single day. When we accept Jesus, when we give our lives to Him, it's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle, becomes everything about us. And so it's every morning we wake up, we remind ourselves that we bear the stigma and we bear the marks of Jesus's cross within us every single day, and that we have to take that up. We have to make that decision every new day. That doesn't mean that we get saved every new day. That's not what I'm saying, but we walk with that every single day. We choose that every new morning. Let's continue on verse 38. There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Actually, I'm sorry. I skipped forward. Verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Okay, that last part there, think about how cruel that is. Jesus has already, he's been literally nailed to a cross, and he's hanging by like the flesh and tendons and bones and ligaments in his hands. I mean, all of his weight is supported on this. This is terrible, terrible. And they bring wine and vinegar. They mix wine and vinegar and give it to him to drink. I mean, that's just, ugh. I mean, think about how terrible that was. I mean, you're up there parched and dying, and they bring you wine mixed with vinegar. That was just cruel on top of cruel. The two guys that are crucified with him, so Jesus is one of three crosses, one of three people being executed this day. And to the Romans, this was unceremonious, right? This is just another day where we're executing some people. So this was a big deal. There's a lot of stuff going on with Jesus, but there's these other two guys, and they're going to put him up there. And I find it interesting, this is the cruelty and the tight fist that the Romans had over the people. It didn't tell us that they were murderers, they were insurrectionists like Barabbas was. They were thieves. They were being sentenced to death for stealing. This is how cruel. This is the Roman peace at work right here. The Pax Romana, where even small things, you provoked fear into people by going way over and above what was necessary punishment, and you kill these people. Maybe they'd stolen a lot, but still the death penalty for stealing. That's who's on either side of Jesus. And in this scene, everyone is mocking him. Everyone is mocking Jesus, the only person in the history of mankind who did nothing wrong ever. And they're mocking him. They're shouting insults at him. These other two guys, it doesn't tell us that they mock them necessarily. Maybe they did mock them too, but they're specifically mocking Jesus and hurling insults at him, so much that they put a sign on top of his cross that says, "This is the King of the Jews." We know from other gospels that they actually put it in multiple languages so that everyone would know, this is the guy that said he was the King of the Jews. But in the same way, from them doing this is a prophetic statement saying that they're doing it mockingly, not understanding that it's actually true. And this offended the Pharisees, we know from the other Gospels, and they went to Pilate and asked him to take it down. He's like, "No, I'm not going to do that." But they are making this prophetic statement, even in their mocking, that he is the King of the Jews. Let's continue on, verse 38. There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you were under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Think about that. Think about that. This guy had obviously been hearing about what Jesus was doing, listening to what Jesus had been doing. He knew enough about him to believe in him. He had heard enough at some point in his life. Up to that point, I guess it hadn't changed his actions. He must have still been stealing. And something about him, there's this repentance in his heart. He feels bad for his theft. He feels bad for the things that he's done. And I look at this and I say, I don't think that there's any way, anything that you could have stolen that would have deserved the death penalty. But he sits there and he says to the other guy, "We deserve this. I deserve to be here." But Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't. And he looks at Jesus and he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." So many people at that point misunderstood what the kingdom was going to look like in its immediacy. But they did understand that there was going to be an actual physical kingdom in Jerusalem, where Jesus is going to sit on the throne, and that is still coming. He is going to do that. So I don't know what version of the kingdom this guy is requesting to be remembered in. In the end, it doesn't matter, because to Jesus, they're one and the same. They're just not both yet here. We have the kingdom manifested within us by the giving of the Holy Spirit today. But there is a coming kingdom, a not yet kingdom, where Jesus is going to reign and rule on earth physically forever. That's when they become one in the same, when we enter into that eternal state, when we enter into what Jesus calls it paradise. Those kingdoms will be one in the same. Right now they're not. I don't know which kingdom this guy is thinking of. But Jesus gives him the answer out of a place of perfect knowledge of what those kingdoms actually look like. And he says, "Listen." Jesus says, "I accept your repentance. I accept your faith." This guy is basically pledging his allegiance to Jesus. And Jesus says, today, your suffering will end. Today, your tears will end. Today, your sins are wiped away and you will be with me in paradise. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter how much we've done, and it doesn't matter how much of what we've done that we've done. When we repent before the Lord and ask for forgiveness of our sins, and we pledge that allegiance to Jesus, we say, "Jesus, I'm with you. I believe in you." When we do that, our sins are forgiven. They are wiped away. Think about the fact that all of these people that are mocking Jesus and hurling insults at him, all these people not on the cross, the people that weren't sentenced to death, out of all of those people, there's one person that was made righteous that day. And it was one of the guys on a cross. We aren't made righteous because we don't get into trouble. We aren't made righteous because we know the right things, or we've studied the Bible, we've done all these things. I encourage you, keep reading the Bible, but this in and of itself is not what makes us righteous. What makes us righteous is when Jesus absolves us of our sins by his shed blood, like he did for this guy on the cross this day. We are made righteous when we pledge our allegiance, when we give our lives to Jesus. And for some people, and this is the grace of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, for some people, it's minutes before they die and the Lord accepts them. But don't wait for minutes. None of us know how long we have on this earth. Don't wait until you think you have minutes. Give your life to him now. Pledge your heart to him now. pledge that allegiance to him now for the rest of your life. This is but a blip in light of eternity. Give your heart to him now. If you've never done that before, we prayed this yesterday. I want to pray it again today. If you've never done that before, pray with me right now. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I repent. I am sorry for the things that I've done against you. Will you forgive me? I repent of my sins. Will you forgive me of my sins, Jesus? I pledge my allegiance to you for the rest of my life. I want to be with you in paradise, Jesus, for all eternity. So I pledge the rest of my life to you, everything that I am, everything that I have. Forgive me and save me, Jesus, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If that's the first time you've ever prayed that, I want to encourage you to get in touch with me. Find the links in the description, the show notes, and get in touch with me. I want to help you with next steps that are so vitally important if you prayed that for the first time today. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.